Okay. So, and Tammy's clearly in no position to do that. I mean, she's been stealing from Woolworths and from Target, and that's not great, but they're also not really serious crimes, are they? So why is this applied to her?
It applies to Tammy because she's been shoplifting while on bail.
Ah.
Tammy shoplifts in the morning, she gets bail, and then she shoplifts again in the afternoon. And so that means she's committed a show cause offence.
Right.
But police are still meant to take into account vulnerabilities like mental health in this situation. And they still could have released Tammy or diverted her to a mental health service. But again, because it looks like no one checked the database, that didn't happen. Instead, Tammy settles in to spend the night locked up at Campbelltown Police Station. The next morning, Tammy appears via a video link before Parramatta Local Court for a bail hearing. She's declined help from the Aboriginal Legal Service, and she says she wants to represent herself.
Hmm.
We've had actors recreate the hearing from the court transcript.
Right, is this Ms. Shipley?
Speaking.
Right, Ms. Shipley, I'm told you're representing yourself. Is that right?
That's right.
Right, are you applying for bail today?
Yes.
Right, I'll read the facts and records, Sergeant. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I don't want bail.
You don't want bail?
No, I don't want bail.
So you want to stay in custody?
Yeah, I want to stay in custody.
And the whole hearing's over in less than 4 minutes.
Wow. So she says that and no one says, why? What's going on? What are you afraid of?
No, they don't. And there's no mention of her schizophrenia by the magistrate or the police prosecutor. Tammy's told that her charges will be heard in 2 days and then she's sent to Silverwater Prison. It'll actually be 4 days before those charges are heard, and we'll remember why from episode one. In custody, Tammy is that unwell that she tries to harm herself twice and is placed under 24-hour CCTV surveillance in the Mumshell unit. When she's deemed well enough to appear, she joins the court from prison via video link. Tammy appears on a large flat screen TV in a local courtroom in Campbelltown. She's coming from a room inside Silverwater Women's Prison and appearing in this local court where typically the magistrate's sitting on the back wall. There's a, you know, New South Wales crest behind him. In the courtroom, there's a police prosecutor who's usually sitting on the left if you're facing the front, and he's got this pile high of cases he's hearing that day.
Mm-hmm.
So Tammy's hearing starts and she tells the court again she doesn't want a lawyer. We actually have the audio of this exchange with the magistrate.
I just want to represent myself. I shouldn't really be here. I made a mistake.
Okay, that's fine. You're entitled to represent yourself. Now, Ms. Shipley, I have two charges before me today, and I'm going to read those charges to you and ask you whether you can enter a plea of guilty or not guilty to the charges.
Yep. The magistrate reads out the charges from the first shoplifting incident at Target.
So you're pleading guilty with an explanation, are you?
Yep.
Yep, I'll note that.
And then he moves on to the charges from Woolworths.
On the 9th of December this year at Macquarie Fields, you did steal certain property, the value of $23.10, namely a rolling pin, kitchen knife, and a 750ml bottle of olive oil, the property of Woolworths. How do you plead to that?
Yep, guilty.
Thank you. Now, I'm going to have a look at the facts and your criminal record now.
Yeah, thank you.
See whether I can finalise it now or not.
The police fact sheet offers the court no clues about Tammy's mental health history. But Tammy, in her own way, is trying to tell the magistrate what happened.
I hadn't had any bupe for a week.
Bupe is the term for a prescription medication used to reduce withdrawal symptoms and cravings of opioids.
And I went into like a small psychosis, and I thought someone was after me and I wanted to just be safe. So I went to Woolworths to get charged.
Okay.
So I could come here and be safe.
So she's told the judge explicitly that she's deliberately committed a crime just to be taken into custody.
Yes.
Because she's fearing in her hallucinating state that someone's out to get her.
Yeah, and she says,
I'm all right with my head now.
Okay, well, I'll just read these and then I'll hear what you've got to say.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, Your Honour, I was barred from the mall.
Yeah, that's all right. I've just read the facts. That's okay. Yeah. When you went in there, they barred it for the mall and then you went back in.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Because I felt unsafe in the community.
Wow. She's saying it very clearly there.
Yep.
The pretty much reason why it all happened is because I didn't have the money to pay for my bute. And it sent me into, like, a little psychosis.
Okay.
So from here, I'd go straight to the doctors and get straight back on it.
Tammy's pleaded guilty to all the charges, so the magistrate just needs to decide her sentence. He notes that Tammy had another stealing charge a month ago. But other than that, she's been out of trouble for 6 years. He tells Tammy the court will deal with the target charges next year. And then he returns to the trespass and stealing charges from Woolworths. That second visit that Tammy made to the shopping centre.
Trespassing, you know, it carries a fine. I'm going to fine you $100 for that.
Yep, thank you, Your Honour.
So she gets a $100 fine for going back to the shopping centre when she was banned. No jail time. And for the $23 worth of items she stole from Woolworths.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. What's today? The 14th. So you've spent 6 days in custody. I take that into account. I'm going to put you on a CRO, conditional release order for 12 months, okay?
Thank you, Your Honour. So thank you so much.
There's no offences, so you can't commit any offences, and you've got to come to court if you get an oath to do so. Do you understand all that?
Yes, I do, Your Honour.
Okay, now, as far as I'm concerned, that should mean you'll be released.
Thank you.
And so the courtroom feeds turn off, and Tammy's sitting in the video link room in Silverwater. When she leaves that little room, she tells corrections officers outside, I've been released. But when they check their systems, the systems say something different.
Hmm.
And the guard tells Tammy, no, you're not being released. Instead of leaving Silverwater Prison, Tammy is sent back to her cell.
How does that happen? Like, because she's just been told in an open court that she's free to go and there'll be a follow-up court appointment next year. So how does that actually happen, that she's not set free?
So what we find out later is that this all happened because of a tech problem, a syncing error.
You're kidding.
No, unfortunately. Police and the courts use this computer system called Justice Link.
Mm-hmm.
And when the police change someone's bail, they put it in the system so that the court can see the changes too.
Yeah.
Police had granted Tammy bail after that first arrest at Target, but when she was arrested again at Woolworths, they cancelled that bail.
And so what does that mean? Like, what does that end up meaning for Tammy?
Well, that syncing error on Justice Link meant that the change in bail never showed up on the court side.
Oh.
So the magistrate thinks that Tammy still has bail over those Target charges. So he doesn't deal with them and thinks she's free to go. But because of this syncing error, that doesn't happen.
And that's a really important error, isn't it? Because you've ended up with someone in custody that is, according to the magistrate, meant to be out on the street.
Yeah, exactly. Tammy was never supposed to go back to prison, but she does. She returns to cell 5 in the Mum Shell unit, where she starts drinking more and more water from the red cup in her room. Just 6 days after this hearing, she collapses in her cell. And as the guards walk backwards and forwards past the door with the broken blind, Tammy dies alone. The list of mistakes leading to this moment is long, but it doesn't end here. Nearly a month after she dies, Tammy's shoplifting charge is heard in court, where she's fined in absentia and ordered to pay $1,000. Tammy's daughters are at their house grieving when they open her mail and see the fine. The court didn't know she had passed away. 3 years after that letter arrives, the inquest into Tammy's death resumes at the New South Wales Coroner's Court in Lidcombe.
3 years? That seems like a pretty long time.
Yeah, it is. And that was because the whole process has been delayed by a year after the New South Wales police tried to stop the coroner from scrutinising their actions and their failure to identify Tammy's mental illness in the lead up to her death.
Okay.
They claimed it was too remote for the parameters of an inquest, and they actually took it all the way to the Supreme Court.
Wow. You're talking there about evidence around that admission process when she was taken into custody and the failure to look into the system.
Yeah, and they spent around $84,000 of public money on two barristers to fight it.
Wow.
But the Supreme Court dismissed that application.
Okay.
So it means the police have to take part in the inquest. And Tammy's family can get a much better picture of how she ended up in prison. After all the evidence has been heard, the family also get the chance to address the coroner. And on the final day of the inquest, Tammy's family read victim impact statements. Liam dials in from his London home.
As the oldest sibling, the weight of this loss is particularly heavy. I come to the realisation that I'll never have the opportunity to share pivotal moments with her. Be it moving overseas to pursue my dreams and goals, see me fall in love, or walking me down the aisle on my wedding day, or meeting the family of my own, or getting my first home that I could invite her over to. The absence of her support and guidance during these significant milestones is a void that cannot be filled, and are just some of the life experiences any child wishes they could share with their mum.
It's just heartbreaking, isn't it? What are the family hoping will come from the inquest process?
Well, Tammy's death seems to have been the result of a series of failures. By the police, who had all the information they needed about her mental health history available and either failed to check it or failed to pass it on. By the courts, which provided the wrong information to a magistrate who believed he was setting Tammy free. By the prison guards, who failed to check on Tammy every 30 minutes, as was the plan. By the corrective services, which kept Tammy in isolated conditions, leading her to develop polydipsia, the condition that ultimately killed her. And by each and every one of those institutions, which failed time and time again to divert her to appropriate medical care. So to answer your question, Erin, the family simply hope that those mistakes and failures won't happen again to other families.
There are a lot of other people that need the same support, and I think that people can learn from what has happened here.
Liam's not wrong. Lessons can and should be learnt. But what's become obvious in the course of this investigation is that doesn't seem to have been the case so far. Because Tammy is not the only one who died in a New South Wales prison from drinking too much water. There were others.
He collapsed and then was unresponsive on the floor. That's my brother, and he needs help and is not being helped.
That's next week on Tammy's Story. If this story has raised issues for you, you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people can also call Crisis Support Service 13 Yarn on 13 92 76. This series is a collaboration with the ABC's Indigenous Affairs team. Background Briefing's sound producers are Lila Schunner and Ingrid Wagner. Sound engineering by Harvey O'Sullivan. Music composition by Russell Stapleton. Fact-checking, rollout and digital production by Ben Spain. The producer for this story is Joanna McCarthy. The supervising producer is Max Chalmers and the executive producer is Fanu Falali. The reporter on this story is Kirsty Willauer and I'm Erin Park. To hear more episodes, search for the Background Briefing podcast on ABC Listen or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks for listening.